1 Chronicles 29, verse number 16. O Lord our God, all this store, now this is David speaking, all this material that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. Real simply, everything that we have amassed here, materials, iron, stones, gold, silver, it's really yours. And I would remind you today that all that you've amassed is really the Lord's, and He's provided it. No one here has truly earned anything because you have God's body, God's air, the mind God gave you to get every bit of it. And so He says, to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. Everything we've got is coming from you. Notice, and is thine own. So when you realize that all that you have is not yours, it's the Lord's, that makes a difference. When you realize that all that you have in your home is the Lord's, it's the Lord's refrigerator in your house, it's the Lord's car in your garage, it's all of thine own. And He's given it to you, loaned it to you. See, yeah, but I earned it. You and I, when we really boil it down, don't earn anything, because we are, our initiative, our drive to get up in the morning is from the Lord. Our effort is from the Lord. Our existence without a great deal of pain is of the Lord. There are people that cannot do anything because of a lack of health. Why is it you and I say, well, I did it, and they couldn't do it because God has allowed us to have a few extra gifts? So I would remind you, He says, and is all thine own. Everything we have is the Lord's. So you'll notice, He says, I know also, my God, David is speaking personally with the Lord. And really what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is your heart, is a perfect heart. Notice, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. You test the heart. You check the heart to see if it's real. The difference between someone that's real and fake is this right here. It is the genuineness of your heart. Is it perfect? Now, when we say perfect, it doesn't mean sinless. We're going to get to it in a minute. It's three things. Listen to all this passage. Notice, thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. You take pleasure in me when I'm upright, perpendicular, when I am exactly rightly related with you. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. It brought David great joy to see his people generously given to the Lord, and to be in a certain position to be able to give. It brings me great joy to see you blessed, to see the people of Temple Baptist Church blessed. But I want you to be in the position of blessings, and a right heart, a perfect heart, is the first requirement. So notice verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Verse 19, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build a palace for the which I have made provision. Now, look back in chapter 28. Look at verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, Son, I want you to know my God. Every father, that should be his desire. Son, I want you to know my God. I want you to know how wonderful he is. I want you to experience his blessing. And he said, and serve him, here it is, with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. So what I want you to understand this morning is I want you to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. I want everybody in this room, every teenager, every adult to have a perfect heart. And why? Because God is searching your heart. Now, if there's no God in heaven, I don't need to be here. And neither do you. But because there is a God in heaven, because he knows our name and he knows where we're sitting today, it's important that you understand he's going to try your heart to see if your heart's perfect. He's going to look into it and see if there be any wicked way in it. David said, Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, in my heart. So notice, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. So you begin to get a picture here that God is looking at our hearts and he's looking at our what we think about, our dreams, imaginations. Now watch. And if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So you'll notice in these two passages, the secret and the central theme is a perfect heart. No, what is that? Well, I want you to notice, it's number one, we keep the imaginations of our heart right. Look, if you would, in verse 18 of 1 Chronicles 29. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep forever the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. Lord, help them to keep their imaginations right. And then if you go back over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David tells Solomon, he says, that a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. So David is telling his son, watch out for what you dream of. Watch out for what you think about. So thoughts are the foundation stones of our life. Dreams are the foundation stones of our future. Everybody here, thoughts and dreams, the imaginations that you have. Now, imagination is something that you think about that's not yet here, but that you would like it to be here. It's a dream. And a perfect heart requires right dreams, right imaginations. So you can't be thinking about immoral things and have a perfect heart. You can't be thinking about covetous things and have a perfect heart. You can't be thinking about, oh, if I could make so much money, I could do this and I could do this. We have to learn to say, Lord, I'd really like to do this, but Lord, is this okay with you? And we hold up our hand with everything that we have in it. Because it's all his anyway. He said to David, he said to Solomon and to the people, he said, look, and looks up to the Lord and he says, Lord, all that we have amassed here is yours. You've just given it to us so we can give it back to you. Don't forget that. Don't forget everything that you have is really the Lord's. It helps the imaginations of your heart. It helps your thoughts to say, I know that what I have is the Lord's. It helps you take better care of it. Let me ask you this question. If somebody gives you a meal and it comes in a really nice bowl with a lid on it, how many have ever had somebody like that do that? Okay, let me see it, okay? They give you something, give you a nice bowl and a lid and stuff like that. So you get that bowl and the lid. Do you just take that bowl and the lid because it's been given to you or loaned to you? Do you just take that and throw it in your drawer or your cabinet, wherever it is, and just throw it up there, and then I'll think about when I give it back to them? Or do you kind of set it out and take a little extra care with it? Do you use it to cook with? No, because it's not yours. So if you had a need, you could pick up the phone and say, hey, Mrs. So-and-so, would you mind if I used your bowl because I've got this special dish I'd like to fix it. Your bowl is perfect for it. Would you mind? And that lady would say, absolutely. Go ahead and use it anytime you want. But you wouldn't feel comfortable just using something she loaned to you, that she gave to you in her dish. Well, now think about this. How comfortable are you and I using everything God's given to us on loan? Read it again, 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 16. O Lord our God, all this store, all this supply that we have prepared, so they did prepare it. They did collect it. To build thee in a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. We collected it, Lord, but you really made it possible. And it's all thine own. So we're not going to just run out there and get all this stuff that we got and start building whatever we want because it's really yours. So think about every cup and bowl and plate and saucer in your house as a gift from somebody, the Lord. And you know what? You'll be more careful with it. Think about your car being a gift from the Lord and you'll take better care of it. Think about your body being a gift for the Lord and you'll take better care of it because you're not your own. By the way, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us the body's not yours, it's the Lord's. So everything we have is on loan from the Lord. So when we fundamentally get that thought in our mind, it helps us take better care of everything that we have. Because you didn't really earn anything that you have. You worked and God allowed you to collect it, but it's still the Lord's. And so you'll notice the imagination of our hearts. Now think about this. Well, Pastor, I can think about whatever I want to. You can, but God is watching every thought. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 139. Please, Psalm 139. And notice with me if you would. Psalm 139. Verse number 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, this is David. This is the attitude of a perfect heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Am I thinking about things that are wrong? And Lord, help me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. So, look, there's two parts to your imaginations. Lord, I want you to inspect my thoughts. Are they right with you? And, Lord, if they're not, would you lead me in the right way? Now, take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to do unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he says, look, if you're unrighteous, if you're doing the wrong things, he says, you're thinking the wrong things. Now watch what he says. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He's saying all your thoughts are wrong. If you're an unrighteous man, you're thinking wrong because your thoughts are the foundation stones to your decisions. They're your dreams. So you and I have to learn to say, Lord, I want you to inspect my dreams and my imaginations and my thoughts so that you're pleased with me. And if you're not, Lord, would you lead me in the way of everlasting? Lord, would you lead me in the right way? Now, the attitude of a perfect heart requires those two things. A willing inspection and a willingness to say, Lord, lead me right. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Keep in mind, we're talking about a perfect heart and the ingredients in it. Notice, if you wouldn't, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is why God erased by the flood the earth. Because man's constant imagination was always wrong. It was always selfish. It was always bitter. And there was no willingness to say, Lord, search my thoughts. So a perfect heart holds her hands up and says, Lord, search my thoughts. Search my imaginations. Lord, I want my imaginations. I want my dreams. The things that you lay awake at night and think about. The things that when you're in school and you daydream about. Lord, I want all of those things to be right. Lord, I want them to be right. And if they're not, Lord, I'll say I'm sorry. Remember in Isaiah 55, he says, return unto me. And so he says, Lord, I'm sorry. Now will you lead me in the right way? That's step number one to a perfect heart, is the right thinking, is the right imaginations, is the right dreams. You cannot dream about something that's outside the will of God. Now, let me ask this question. Is dreaming about being a bank robber or a diamond thief ever in the will of God? We look at it and say, well, that's a dumb question. No. Because it's outside the will of God. It's outside the commands of God. So dreaming about marrying somebody that's already married is always wrong. Dreaming about marrying somebody else that's not your wife or your husband is always wrong. So dreaming about, and you and I have to learn, I can never ever have to say, Lord, forgive me. I have to learn to limit the dreams and the imaginations of my heart. If I do that, I can have a perfect heart before God. But you cannot if you dream, think, or imagine anything outside the will of God. But the second thing that you want to dream about and think about is not the wicked thoughts, but you want to think and dream about the things that would lead you in the way that are everlasting. So your thoughts can go like this. One is right, one is wrong. And when it goes like this, you say, I don't know, then you say, Lord, show me. Like David did, and David says, Lord, show me, because lead me in the right way and forgive me of the things that are wrong. And God says, okay. And so he shows him that which is right. David didn't do that the night that he saw Bathsheba. And it ruined him. But you can get a perfect heart back if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now lead me in the right way. I want to think about righteous thoughts. Today, if you want to do what's right, if you want a perfect heart, the first thing you have to remember is you have to be willing to say, Lord, inspect me, and Lord, help me to go in the right way. I remember in school, in college, they wanted the rooms to be, and this was, you know, a few years ago, so they'd have what's called white glove. Anybody here ever heard of white glove? I mean, you know, whenever this is probably older times, because now they just hope the room is still standing, I think, if you live in it in college now. And so, but I remember that point in time, at the end of the year, they would have what's called white glove. And so the guy would come in with a pair of gloves, white gloves, and he'd walk in, and you worked all day because you couldn't leave if he found things that had to be fixed or cleaned. And so there were four in the room, so we'd all get together, and so everybody take, somebody take the floor, somebody take the walls, somebody take all of the furniture, and somebody else, and we'd all just chip in. So, I mean, we would take and clean that thing with a toothbrush. I mean, when they came in, and there was always one or two guys that, I don't want to do this. Okay, you know, and they'll do this and do that. And we'd look at them and say, hey, you do it right, because that's going to be on us. And so, okay, is that good enough? And so you'd get a couple guys with a good attitude, a couple guys with a bad attitude, because the inspection was coming. And we didn't have a choice about it. But a perfect heart says, Lord, would you come inspect. Now, I can tell you this. When we spent all day and the floor was gleaming and all of the light fixtures were polished, the doorknobs were polished, the faucet was gleaming, the sink was perfectly clean, the mirror was perfect. I mean, when you walked in that room, you looked at it and said, wow, this just looks great. We knew it did. And so we were ready for him to come in. Hey, come on down. We're ready to leave. Come on down. And so he's going down to a different room. Say, hey, come on down. Come on down to our room, 231. Come on down. Okay, calm down. We come in and say, wow, looks good. We already knew that. And you know when you're living right. And you know when you're thinking right. And you know when you have a perfect heart, because it's wonderful. And so I want to encourage everybody in this room to have as your goal as a Christian a perfect heart, because it makes you real. Everything that you do is real because you're thinking the right way. As David said, lead me in the way of everlasting. Your goals are goals that honor the Lord. Your goals are goals that are good for you. Your goals are goals that God can bless you with. And so as you look at it, you say, wow, this is wonderful. And when you have a perfect heart, you're proud for anybody to see. Now, I try to keep the house clean. I try to keep my bed made, made my bed this morning. I try to keep my sinks clean. I try to keep the yard, the thing, my carpets vacuumed. I try to keep it clean in case somebody just showed up. Pastor, could I talk to you? I've had people show up that wanted to get saved. And so, not in this house, but in various houses. And so I would sit down with them and try to lead them to us. Come on in, let's talk. So I just know that sometimes people need to talk, and so it happens that way. So I want to keep it clean. Well, can you imagine when the Lord says, hey, I want to come and check your heart? You say, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Now, it's common practice before you have people over. Before you have people over to visit your house, what do? Well, you go through and you vacuum, you clean everything up. Not because it's a trash dump, but because you want it to look as good as it can. And so you have to live there, but you want it to look as good as you can. You can't live in a white glove situation. I mean, you can't live in that room if they come in with a white glove every day. You can't live in that room. I mean, your focus would be on keeping the room clean, nothing else. But there's a level there that's acceptable to the Lord. Now, the difference is in white gloving a room and white gloving your heart is that your heart can be done every day. You begin to get into the pattern of always thinking right, and your steps are right. And your end result is right. Now, notice the second thing. In verse number 18, at the very bottom, he says, forever in the imagination of thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Now, there's what's called a prepared heart. It's mentioned various times in Scripture. It is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that he says, look, study to show thyself approved unto God. And then he goes down the list here and he says, if you have these things, you have a prepared heart. A prepared heart is when you read God's word regularly. You do the things, and literally the word prepared in the Greek text is etoimazo. It's to be ready. And it's the same concept in Hebrew, to be ready. Literally in Hebrew, it's erect. That's the word. So it is for you to be ready for the Lord at any point in time. You're always erect. You're always upright. If you'll notice, that's the reason he says in verse number 17, he says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. Same concept. So he says, look, I want you to live with a prepared heart. And that's what I want to try to do for people to come over. I want it to be pretty well a prepared heart. Now, there are some things that get in your life that kind of mess up your preparedness. Jeremy and Mandy was on vacation, and the little dog stayed with me, and you couldn't prepare anything that much. I mean, I couldn't make the bed right because she'd jump on the bed and she would do whatever. She starts digging, I'm afraid she'd tear up my bed cover. And so, you know, I had to leave it halfway over. And when she'd come in, she couldn't get to it. And so there were all kinds of things I had to do different. And the lack of preparation was just discomforting. You're just trying to, you know. And so when you have, how many of you like to have company over for a month? You like to have company over for a few days. It's wonderful. But then when they come for, there's a point in time where it's like, how much longer? Well, understand, preparedness is when you're always ready and say, Lord, you're welcome in any time. Lord, come look at my heart. Very few Christians live with a prepared heart. I've had my devotions this morning. I've read the scriptures. I've talked with you this morning, Lord. I've confessed all my sin. Lord, my thoughts are right. I've got dreams today that I know would honor you. Lord, I want to trust you today to guide my steps. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've done for me. So all of these things make a prepared heart. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14 of 1 Chronicles 29. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David was big on the concept that all that I have is yours anyway. And so if I give back to you, then I've really just given you what's yours. But I've shared with you my heart. So a prepared heart is a thankful heart. It's a heart that recognizes that everything I have is the Lord's, but it's a heart that says, I'm ready, Lord, for you to look at me. I'm ready for you to see my heart because everything that I'm doing, I'm trying to do the right way. So it's a prepared heart. It has no sin in it. You've tried to add the things into your life that ought to be there. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy very quickly. We'll read this verse. Notice, if you would, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, Lord, you can check my heart at any point in time, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, you can come check me anytime, and I'm not going to be embarrassed by what you see. But then notice in verse number 21, he says, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now watch this. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So have a prepared heart, a heart prepared unto the right way and refusing to go the wrong way. Now then notice in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, if we get rid of all the things of the wicked heart, if we get rid of all the things that they had in Genesis 6, which caused the flood, he says, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and here it is, prepared unto every good work. So a prepared heart is a part, it's the second step of the perfect heart. It's when God can look at you and say, okay, you're ready for me to use. Now keep in mind, it is about usually possessions. Because remember, David said, Lord, look at all this store that we've prepared, we've gotten assembled for you. Now we recognize it's yours. But Lord, it's all here for you. What's next? So a prepared heart has everything in your possession at the Lord's feet. Lord, I want a prepared heart. So I'm going to think right. All my possessions are at your feet, and I'm walking with you. I'm close with you. My heart is close to you. I don't have my fingers on anything in this life that's mine. And then notice the third thing. And I think this is really the key to staying with a perfect heart. Notice with me, if you would, it is the Hebrew word for perfect is the word to be at peace. So now let's read it, verse 19. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And give unto Solomon my son a at peace heart to keep thy testimony, thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build a palace. So now let's back up. If you're at peace, what does that mean? Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 24, I'm sorry. Acts 24. Here's the definition of peace that we all need to take a look at. Acts 24. Look with me if you would. In verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. Peace. And toward man. Peace. So a perfect heart involves everything is right between you and everybody else and God. So you'll notice that our delight should be a clean heart. It really is a clean heart. It's one where the Holy Spirit is not tapping on your heart and saying you shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't have the plans to do that tomorrow because it's wrong. You shouldn't have the attitude that you have. You ought to get rid of the bitterness and get rid of it. And so the Lord said to David, look, I want you to have a perfect heart. Now, let's go back over 1 Chronicles, if you would, chapter number 28, and let's read one more time. Verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. So there's I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. And serve him with a perfect heart. Serve him with a heart that is completely at peace. Okay? Because then if you want to use a particular piece of stone that's very expensive for this house, it's okay because it's not yours, it's his. Nothing bothers you and I. And there's nothing between us and God. If he asks us to do this, we're willing to do it. We have a perfect heart. So you'll notice he says, and serve him with a perfect heart. You cannot serve God with joy. You cannot serve God and please him without a perfect heart. It's a heart. And we'll close with this. One, that all your imaginations are right. All your thoughts are right. And you invite the Lord into your heart to make sure. You live with, I want to get rid of the wicked thoughts, and I only want to think of the way that is right. So Lord, lead me in that way. Right thoughts, right imaginations, right dreams. Number two, it's a prepared heart. I've spent time with the Lord. I've tried to walk with the Lord. It is something that I'm wrecked, and I'm trying to prepare my heart. I'm trying to be ready for whatever God wants me to do. It's a prepared heart. It requires for you to memorize scripture so whenever something comes up, you can share with someone else the plan of God. It does require you to memorize scripture so whenever a temptation comes up, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A prepared heart is one that you're ready to serve the Lord with. And then the third thing is there's peace in your heart. There's nothing that God has got his finger on and he's tapping your heart and saying, you ought to not do that. Or you ought to do that. So if God's called you to go to the mission field, you don't have a perfect heart as long as you're saying, Lord, next year. Lord, next month, I'll think about it. And you don't have a perfect heart if the Holy Spirit says, look, I want you to give this to missions. And you say, but wait a minute, Lord, that's mine. Because remember, he said, Lord, all that we have, all that we've amassed here, it's yours. So a perfect heart is peace between you and God. Today, just remind you, it is proper thoughts prepared heart, and finally a perfect heart is simply heart of peace, peaceful heart. So today, do you have a perfect heart? You know, folks, today, I want you to have a perfect heart because it is the greatest position before God. It allows God to hear your prayers. It allows God to bless you. It is the position of blessing. It requires a thankful heart because you and I didn't earn anything. And when we really didn't earn anything, it was all a gift of God. Remember, every good and perfect gift is from the God, Father above. So all of us in this room, we can work hard and do our best, but remember, God gave it to us, and it's really His. And one of these days, when we get to heaven, that's the reason why all the rewards that we're going to get in heaven, we're going to take and lay at His feet. It's not for us. Folks, nothing is for us. It's all for Him. When we learn that, we have a perfect heart. Well, let's bow forward to prayer. Father, today, I thank you, Lord, for the simple thought behind a perfect heart. Lord, David pled with you to give his son a perfect heart, and you did at the beginning. But Lord, he began to stray away from it. He began to get selfish. He began to get possessive of his wealth and of his power, of his peace. Lord, I pray that you would help us to always lift palms up with you. All we have is yours. Lord, give us a good morning around your word. In your name I pray. Amen.